got one of the most fun upcoming basketball teams in the NBA. Everybody's talking about them. There's a lot of buzz around them. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to talk Magic basketball with you. I'm excited to talk NBA with you, Max Van Auk, and maybe even some UFC. We always talk UFC too. We do it all, Max, but
we do.
Happy to be here, man.
We do it all. Yeah, we are back, and there is a lot going on. I know it's the NFL preseason, and people are kind of getting their gears ready to watch some football, but there has been actually a lot of NBA news, whether it was Kevin Durant. I literally, right before we went on air, I saw what Giannis just said, and we're trying to confirm if it was real or not because it doesn't make a lot of sense, but he did say he was committed to the Bucks. It was just a weird interview. It seemed like he was honoring Michael Jordan, like a press conference, and was just talking about the history of Chicago. But then our very own Orlando Magic, Paolo, we never really got to talk about him and Murray's beef. And so we can kind of talk about that a little bit from our number one pick in the draft.
I mean, it seemed like Paolo did something that we don't know about that got DeJounte really mad. But DeJounte been acting a little crazy throughout this whole summer league tour he's been on, like beating people on the head with the basketball repeatedly and driving by. Like, in a lot of places, you really can't do that to people, at least like the way I grew up playing basketball in New York City. I mean, I'm not saying that like you're automatically going to get into a fight, but there's a good chance you will, the way I grew up playing basketball, at least. So I don't know, man. He's been acting a little bit crazy out there. That was a nice move before he threw the ball at him, though. That was kind of crazy. Pump fake, fake pass, off the backboard, dunk. You don't have to. Okay, the taunting is cool. Like, oh, little man, like you're too little pose. But like to throw the basketball at the guy, I don't know what Paolo said or did, but it seemed like DeJounte was upset. But yeah, he's definitely been acting crazy.
And the first time I saw Murray hit the ball on the defender's head because he was playing really high up on him, and then he made a move and went, okay, cool. But when I saw him do it, like, repeatedly when someone was on the ground, like, that's lame to me. Like, that's just completely, like, for one, it's not like you caught him slipping and you made a cool move. Like you said, you taunt, you make a move, get a bucket. Like, the guy's already on the ground. Like, I just feel like there's no need for you to do that. And, I mean, I guess they say he went to Atlanta and Atlanta's already changed him, in this, so to speak. But whatever Paolo said, all we could see is right what was said on social media. And I'm actually a huge fan of it. I think it's really cool to see a rookie go toe-to-toe with someone who's already proven himself in the NBA. He's already established. He's an all-star and not back down. And when you have a number one overall pick, that's what you want regardless, right? You want someone that's not scared of who they're going against. They believe in their abilities no matter who it is in front of them. They're confident in their chippiness. They're competitive. I like it. Now, granted, it's not even an NBA game. And things got a little bit weird once it went to Instagram and Twitter. But as far as just the competitive aspect of it, I like it.
Yeah, and to your point, like, even growing up, AND1 had a huge influence on everybody. And I used to bounce the ball off people's head and keep dribbling. But that was kind of like in the midst of a game, right? And people would get mad even at that. But you're right. Like, it's overdoing it, just like pounding the ball off somebody's head, like over and over and over again. Like, that was a little bit crazy. But I definitely don't mind, like, the Twitter beefs that people have. I mean, a lot of it is entertaining and it's just all basketball at the end of the day. But DeJounte, like, he almost seems like he's taking it off the court in some ways. Paolo's not overreacting. He just signed a Jordan deal. I'm sure he's thinking about his long-term brand and his long-term career, and he doesn't seem to be as engaged as DeJounte is in it.
I will say Paolo will be a better player than Murray. Maybe not right now, but he will be a better player than Murray. And secondly, we definitely, Brandon Haywood and I talked about this, Murray needs to have a course in trash talk. Like, when he, I don't know if you've
seen. Well, explain it to me, because I haven't been totally engaged. I saw there was Instagram stories, but you could explain it to me, and then I could react to it.
Okay, so basically, let's just, I'll pull it up. Let me just pull it up for you. This way.
Because I've been known to talk a little on the court, so I'll dissect this once I know exactly what was said. Like, I seen the post, but I don't remember exactly what was said on both sides. I know it was something to the effect, like, you're almost like my protege and I'm the mentor and you're not acting right, right? That was, like, the gist of it.
No. I wish that was.
No, that he was saying that, like, you're a little guy. Now you think you're the number one pick and you could talk crazy. Like, that's what happened.
Yeah, but then he said to Paolo, these aren't my words. These are his words.
But is that the truth, what I just said, to some effect? Like, he's like, basically, you're the little guy. I'm in the league already. Like, act accordingly, even though you were the number one pick.
Yeah. I mean, that's the general gist of it, right, is the fact that he's the big dog. But he ended up going to – now, okay, let me just put this because I'm looking up on Twitter right now because I was going to tell you exactly what this guy said, but it's not even popping up. I can't even find his thing. But regardless, I know what the concept was. So, number one, when you go to social media and you're trash talking, it's different than just in the heat of the moment. So in the heat of the moment, you may say something that doesn't make sense. There's a lot of emotion. It's quick paced. God dang, I could have said something better. On social media, you're taking your time. So if you really mess up on social media, it's like, damn, you had all the time in the world. How did you mess that one up? So he said along the lines of, next time I see you, I'm going to blow your back out.
Yeah, that's. I mean, in New York, we'll say pause.
Like, exactly. You know, that's what I'm saying. So,
I know we're in a different era now, but no. That sounds crazy.
That's what, out of all the things that you could have said, and like I said, I emphasize social media. So you're typing this out. You could have easily been like, you know what? I probably could have said something a little bit better than this.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm totally confused. I don't even know what's going on anymore.
No, and so I just was like, okay, now this is taking a weird spin because it's different than saying, yeah, I'm the big dog, you're the little dog. I'm like, you think you're the number one overall pick, and look how cocky you're getting. But then you took that route.
I know Twitter must have went crazy with that.
You didn't see this combo?
No, I did see it. I totally saw it. I kind of ignore some things though, like. I definitely didn't engage in it.
No, well, when I first saw it, I thought this is probably, like some fake funny Twitter account that's making fun of the situation. No, that's not actually, it's not fake. So he ended up saying, here we go.
That's like when reality gets stranger than fiction. Like nobody would even make that up, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this doesn't even seem real. He put it on his story. I got it pulled up finally. Jamonte Murray put it on his story. I'll blow your back out, little boy. Just you wait.
What do you think he was trying to mean by that? That's a good question. If you had to guess.
I don't get paid enough. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. I don't know. That was just a very weird choice of words, right?
Yeah, I really don't have a take on what he was thinking there, so.
Yeah.
I guess we could move on.
That's what I was saying. I really don't know how to break that down. I mean, to each his own, I just don't know what. I've just never heard, like, and I told you, I'm the Larry Bird of where I grow up as far as trash talking on the court. Like, that's just what I do, right? I've definitely gotten into it with a lot of people. I've never had that said to me one time.
Imagine somebody scream that out on the court.
Yeah, what do you say to that? Like, I don't even think Paolo responded to that. Like, I just don't know how you would. I'm not even sure what I would say. I'd probably just walk
away. In New York, they respond with pause.
Yeah. I mean, I would heard pause, but I mean, I don't even think I would say pause to that, like, because I would think that person's joking.
I wouldn't respond if I was Paulo. Like,
yeah, exactly. So that's what I was saying. It just took a different direction than I thought it would. But as far as the concept of going back and forth, like I like the idea of everyone being cool and cordial and like how older generation, like they're all buddy buddy today. I'm actually okay with that. But I do like the aspect of being competitive. Like you don't always have to be buddy buddy. You don't always have to be the closest of friends. And so seeing this little rivalry, it's pretty cool. And a guy like Trae Young too. Because let's just talk about the Hawks for a second. He's kind of embraced that villain role as well. And so now having Murray kind of emerging over the summer as somebody who's been acting kind of crazy, so to speak, with the trash talk, it seems like Atlanta as a whole and Trae Young and Murray are embracing that a little bit.
I feel like, kind of switching topics a little bit, I feel like Trae Young is such a polarizing topic and figure. And it's almost impossible for people these days to, like, land somewhere in between of the polar opposites, but that's kind of like where I land. Like, do I ever think Trae Young is going to be a best player on a championship team? Probably not, but that doesn't mean he's not tremendously talented. Like, the guy is 6 feet, not the greatest athlete, and could put up numbers the way he does.
Yeah.
Is absolutely incredible. So sometimes you just got to appreciate talents, and you don't have to, like, even though you think he's won't win a championship, like, as the number one guy, it doesn't mean you have to, like, bash the guy either, right? Like, you could land somewhere in between when it comes to Trae Young.
I agree. Now, besides Steph Curry at the point guard position, the last time – and, I mean, Steph Curry's not 6 foot. He's about 6'3", right? But
And honestly, Steph is more athletic. than Trey. Bigger, stronger.
He is. He is. You know? Yeah, he is. And so the last person that we saw that's 6 foot that led a team to a championship, you think of what? Isaiah Thomas? But he's even a little bit taller than 6 foot, right? So,
and he was more athletic than Trey as well, you know.
Yeah,
stronger.
When's the last time we saw? And I love Trey Young, and that's. But to your point, like, when's the last time
that? Yeah, not a lot of guys at his stature, like at 6 feet, you know, like his frame. I mean, Iverson was kind of like that, and Iverson was a weight, like, to say it again, like Iverson was a ridiculous athlete, you know. I mean, he could have been a great football player if he wanted to, you know. So, like,
100%.
He was a great football player. Put it that way.
Yeah, he could have went either way. Now, the thing about Trey, though, I do believe he's very easy to play with, and so I think he'll attract more stars.
Do you think so? I don't know about that. Like, if you were playing basketball, Trey would be the guy you'd want to play with.
Well, I mean, like, if I see,
but and also you're gonna have to cover up a lot of what he does on defense, and on offense, he's pounding the ball a lot, and you're kind of. Just standing there. For a rim running big, I agree with you, right?
I was about to say, I think it depends on what your game is.
Yeah, I think if you like to have the basketball a little bit in your hands, he's probably not the ideal fit for you. But I would say I think they're going away from that with the signing of DeJounte.
Agreed.
Realizing that you can't revolve offense around one player and go deep.
Agreed. And you and I have talked about this. The trajectory of the NBA seems to be the system is going to beat you rather than just one player dominating the ball. And so I think Atlanta's adjusting to that aspect. And with Murray, it may take some adjustment at first. I believe this gives Trey Young an opportunity to lead the league in scoring because I think he's going to get a lot more open looks, a lot of easier looks than, to your point, him being the system, double team, taking off the dribble, deep threes. He'll probably still take a lot of those, but it'll be much easier looks for him.
Yeah, I think there's like two guys in the NBA that you could defy the odds with and win, even revolving offense just around them, and that's Luka and LeBron, and obviously they're a lot bigger than Trey. So, but I don't think it's the easiest way about going about winning an NBA championship or going deep in the playoffs. It's tough. These teams are too talented and too deep. But it's a great opportunity for Trey to maybe watch some Steph video and move a little bit more without the ball.
Yep.
I mean, he's not going to do it to the level of Steph because Steph is one of the greatest ever, or if the greatest ever as a movement shooter. But it gives him an opportunity to make his game more dynamic.
Agreed.
Weaving on the ball and off the ball.
And I do believe Luka can do that, but that's why you and I have had this conversation about Luka before as well. We've only seen one guy be the system and consistently win, and that is LeBron. Like he's the only guy, right? Michael Jordan wasn't necessarily the system. He was part of the triangle, and granted, he was dominant at times, and like he would be the system if you needed a bucket. But as far as just religiously, this guy's the system, and we know it's only going to go through him. Who else have we really seen do that and win championships?
Yeah, not a lot of teams.
That's crazy.
Michael Jordan even realized that he needed his team, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's a consistent way to build.
Phil Jackson, you know, changed the system around. And, I mean, Michael Jordan's stats were crazy at one point, but he wasn't going to win that way. He was averaging 37 a game at one point, you know, before Phil Jackson. I'm pretty sure it was before Phil Jackson with Doug Collins.
Yep.
So, you needed a team. And they built around Jordan in the right way, and you see they won 6 championships.
Yeah, I mean, things definitely fell into place. What else is going on in the NBA combo?
I don't know. Kevin Durant's situation is getting weirder. How do you think that's going to end up?
Actually, there is something I could say too. I don't understand why the Lakers and Nets aren't the number one trade scenario that makes the most sense. I still don't get that. I don't know why the Lakers wouldn't say, okay, we clearly have sacrificed everything to win now. Why stop now? Here, we'll give you Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. Give us Kyrie and KD. You're in the rebuilding process. You can have all the picks you want, and you're not going to get any trade package that you feel you get the best in return for Kevin Durant, but at least out of all of the possible people that you could trade with, you're not going to get anyone better than Anthony Davis. I don't understand.
But why would the Nets do that?
Because their future are picks. So they got a bunch of picks. They get an all-star caliber, a top 10 player, healthy Anthony Davis in return. You wanted Kyrie Irving out of there. And you wanted Kevin Durant wants out of there. Why would you not do that? Who else are you going to get better value back for? Boston's not going to trade with you. Phoenix isn't going to trade with you. Who else is going to trade with them? Miami Heat, you're not getting anyone better on the Miami Heat that's better than Anthony Davis.
We got to see Anthony Davis come back healthy, first of all. And second of all, I think the Nets are just going to be patient and not do something just because Kevin Durant wants to be out, you know? And
which is a smart thing to do.
I mean, and you are trading two guys for one because teams aren't going to try and build with Russell right now, right? So you're like, you got like top 15 talents for one supposedly. I mean, KD's a top two talent, right? And then Kyrie's like what, top 10, top 15. I mean, Russell's not even in that discussion anymore, and AD didn't look the same last year. So I could see why the Nets wouldn't do it. I mean, yeah, for the Lakers, it definitely makes sense.
Being patient, I 100% get. And that's the right move, especially you don't want to set a precedent of, wow, this player can really demand something and I'm going to go ahead and do it, especially as like the team CEO of it all. So I understand that. But then Jeannie Buss goes out, and this is kind of the same topic but different thing, and she puts Michael Jordan's the best player of all time. Combo, there's two ways to look at it. One, she's just basically stating who she thinks the best in a recent interview. Two, there's always a why behind things, in my opinion, like why people leak things, why people say things, timing of it all. You want to win a championship more than anything, and what better way to, why, like, there's just a time and place to say things. When you currently have LeBron on your roster, who wants to be the greatest of all time, who, that's clearly the debate, LeBron and Jordan, and I think Kareem does get disrespected, but it's mainly between LeBron and Jordan. Why say that now? And I believe that the Lakers, they have been struggling recently. So does that not light a little bit of an unintentional fire under LeBron? Like, hey, yeah, I think Michael Jordan's the best. I just think there's a reason. Like, the all-time greats find the littlest things to motivate them, right? We saw in The Last Dance, Michael Jordan didn't like it that the coach didn't even acknowledge him at the restaurant. Like, that fueled him. Kobe Bryant would take things personally. I believe LeBron's the same way. He may not be Jordan and Kobe as far as that quote-unquote killer, but he still finds things to motivate him. And so for your boss to tell you you're not the greatest player of all time, doesn't that kind of give you another reason to, okay, let me prove them wrong?
So you're saying he wants to prove them wrong by leaving and then beating them?
No, I think he's going to try to win with the Lakers, obviously, this year.
So then it works for her.
It does.
What she said.
I think that's what she's thinking, though, in the back of her head, is let me give him another reason to feel motivated.
That's interesting. Okay. I mean, I thought you thought it was maybe a reason for her to try and drive him out.
No. I don't think she wants that. I mean, at the end of the day, can LeBron maybe be a bit much at this point of his career because he needs to win now and the pressure? And I could get that, but ultimately you want LeBron on your team. And so I don't think she wants LeBron to leave, but I do believe she wants to make sure he doesn't think you have nothing left to prove. Yeah, you got us a championship. We're thankful for that. But since the championship, let's be honest, it's been dysfunctional since then. They haven't made the playoffs. There's been a bunch of things that didn't work out. This is just your way of boss saying, yeah, I still think Michael Jordan's the GOAT. I just think it's just weird timing, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. I mean, they asked her a question. She answered it, but I see what you're saying. So if that motivates him, I guess she did his job. She did her job. But LeBron doesn't lack for motivation, but you're right. You could always get added motivation on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, when he originally lost to there's two different moments come to mind. One, when he first lost, he didn't make the playoffs, and he posted that gladiator meme or video, that clip on his Instagram saying, I'll be back to win, and then he's like, I promise you I'm going to win. And then the second, remember the whole Golden State Warriors had that cake, and the Cavaliers had their cake after they won? Do you remember that?
A little bit.
And he was petty, and he put, like, the jerseys on the cake. Like, he just remembers certain things that people say and do, and I think that's what the all-time – I mean, Tom Brady clearly does the same thing. It's just, like, that little – you never forget. Draymond Green never forgets the people that were drafted above him. Like, he could list literally every single name.
Yeah, no, that's – I mean, I feel like I'm like that in some ways, so – Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, Jordan was the king of that, so he, like, embodied that. So, yeah, for sure, I agree.
All right, Combo, making sure I'm not crazy. I put my investigator cap on. As soon as I read that, I'm like, really? I'm like, I just think it's the timing is not coincidental
whatsoever. You got to keep that chip on your shoulder, you know?
Yeah, man. That's what we do. That's why we're the podcasters of the industry. And by the way, you said UFC talk, by the way. I hope you see Conor McGregor's gained a lot of weight. That guy's looking like a tank.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a good way. Now, he looks huge. Now, the thing is, I thought he would retire. No, I thought he was going to come back for sure. But then he just...
Do you think he's broken as a fighter? Like, you know, when somebody suffers bad losses and issues, sometimes even if they get back to a place physically where they could be good... But you know what I'm saying? Like, this happens to fighters,
right?
For like,
sure.
They're broken and they're done, so you don't feel he's there yet.
No. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is, well, for one, like I said, I thought he was going to have a huge comeback, but then he signed a movie deal. And then you know how much time, and you've been in a movie combo. You come on. You know, I'm talking to a superstar. It takes a lot of attention and time and preparation. And the guy who everyone said is distracted and needs to just focus on the sport, that's the last thing you want to do is sign a movie deal. But then now he's posting all of his clips of him training. He said this is going to be the best comeback ever. Witness. I believe he can. But when you fight, when you're Conor McGregor, the people that you're fighting are literally putting their best foot forward every time against you because it's the most eyes, it's the most money. You're getting everyone's best. And so it requires you to be locked in and hungry. And Marvin Hagler said it. When you're sleeping in silk sheets, it's hard to wake up at 4 a.m. and go train. And so that's been the problem with Conor. It's like, does he have motivation? And I finally thought, you know what? Yeah, he does, because now everyone doesn't think he can do it. So that's actually some motivation. But the movie deal has me worried. It does. But if you go on his Instagram and you look, there's no way he's cutting back down to lightweight at 155. He's going to fight 170 at welterweight. The dude's big.
I don't believe as much in that silk sheiks comment if you have that passion and desire within. Like, I mean, I'm sure MJ and Tiger Woods.
And Floyd.
Floyd had some silk sheets, right? Who knows? Who knows what kind of sheets they had? But, like, I don't know. I don't care what kind of sheets they had. But it's like, if you have that desire to continue to be the greatest, I don't think that really stops.
Agreed.
Like,
agreed.
No matter how much money you have or you don't have.
Agreed. Yeah, and I wouldn't rule it out. It depends on the matchup.
Now, if you don't love the game and you did it for the money the whole time, which happens all the time, right?
Yeah.
And those guys usually don't end up being the greatest ever, but, you know, they could definitely make tons of money playing basketball. Then you could see it, like, in their demeanor, the way they're approaching the game. And 100%. If you don't have, like, a passion to be the greatest, then you could lose some of it once you get the money, you know?
100%. And if you look at his Instagram, all he's been doing, he's been on his Lamborghini yacht, and he's been working out. That's all he's been doing. It's just working out.
You could have the Lamborghini yacht and still have that passion. I mean, like, Floyd used to go out, party, he wasn't a drinker, but then run back home, right?
Yep.
Like after the club. So, you know.
Yeah.
You could have both. You could live in luxury and still work just as hard.
100% combo. I mean, you're a living proof of this. But combo, this was another great episode. The video content is coming. So your famous outro, man, I'm going to no look pass to you.
You can find Max Van Auken on Instagram at Max_Van_Auken. You can find me on Instagram at 12combo. Subscribe to the MVP podcast. Subscribe to Combo's Court podcast. And subscribe to this podcast, the Believe in Magic podcast. Shouts to the Believe Podcast Network. We're here, Max.
We are here. Till next time. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon, bro.